Ask anything. So let's say you're walking down the road with Jesus and he asks you, what do you want? Ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. What do you ask for? You think? You don't have to say it out loud. You're welcome to say it out loud. What do you ask for? Jesus just says, what do you want? Nobody better say, world peace, because that's always the answer, right? That's the answer. I want to serve my fellow man, like in Risky Business. And then everyone throws French fries. Anyone seen Risky Business, the movie? That was everyone wants, I want to make money. I want to serve my fellow man. French fries in the face. In today's Bible reading, James and John asked for power. It's easy to think, that's not what I want. I want something good. I want the world to be a better place. I hope we want the world to be a better place. But who's to say that James and John didn't want that too? Why couldn't a desire for power be about making the world a better place? What better position to do that than from a place of power? But Jesus isn't about places of power. Jesus truly is about places of weakness. Jesus is about emptying ourselves of the things that we make more important than God. Even the good things, because they become more important than God. Let me tell you a little bit about James and John. They had the nickname, the Sons of Thunder. Jesus gave them that nickname. See, once the Samaritan village rejected Jesus, and the Sons of Thunder wanted to bring fire down from heaven and kill everyone. Here's the story from Luke 9, 51 to 56. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. And on their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make it ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went to another village. That's James and John. Here's a slightly different version of James and John. This is from Steve Case's book, The Unauthorized Dictionary of Youth Ministry. You didn't get to see that one last week because it's so new that he didn't bring it with him, but I got a copy of it. It's in my office if you want to take a look at it. Steve Case was here during church last week and then did the Sunday night program, which was marvelous. That man is a brilliant storyteller. Here's his definition. Disciples, brothers, had one of those mothers who insisted on showing up to tell you how good her kids are and why they deserved special attention. Try to tell me Jesus didn't know what you go through. He's talking to youth ministers. Also known as the Sons of Thunder, they must have eaten too much fish and lentils. That's the humor that Steve brings. Actually, in the Matthew version of this morning's Bible reading, it is James and John's mother who says, let my sons sit on the right and the left when you are in your glory. So the mother showed up to say that. So it's the same story, but it's just told a little bit differently. But so in Steve's definition, had a mother that shows up to say, my sons are great, you should give them the good jobs. But let's just suffice it to say, no matter what, James and John were wild men. They were, I don't even know how to describe it. They were unpredictable, or maybe they were predictable in a bad way. They wore their emotions on their sleeves. But in today's Bible reading, instead of seeing some dangerously vindictive attitudes like we do in the Luke reading, we see the Sons of Thunder merely wanting positions of power when Jesus took power. And Jesus knew that what they were asking for meant suffering. And these two weren't ready for that. He told them about being humble. He told them that greatness only comes in being a servant or a slave to others. Yeah, that's all good, right? The last shall be first. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Great spiritual directions. We hear it all the time, but what do they have to do with real life? Let's ask, really, let's lay it out there. What do they have to do with real life? Because our world is filled with the pursuit not of happiness, nor the serving of one another, but the expansion of our territory, the increase in our bank accounts, the elevation of ourselves or those we support to positions of power. And to be the best means that you do better than all of the rest. It means that you take home the prize. The ones who win get all the money and the power. But the desire to win in all of life's pursuits turns things sour. Desire to lead leads a person into sensitivity. Insensitivity leads to rudeness. Rudeness leads to arrogance. Arrogance leads to callousness, and callousness leads to ruthlessness. I know that I'm talking about a slippery slope, but this is a slippery slope that actually makes sense. You want to win? You might be insensitive about everyone else who doesn't win. And then rude, and then arrogant, and then callous, and then ruthless. And Jesus said, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. See, Jesus came from very humble beginnings. He worked with his hands. He lived the life of a peasant. He healed people. He did upset the status quo, and he was more than an annoyance to the religious and non-religious power brokers of the day. But when he made his final entry into Jerusalem, he rode on the foal of a donkey instead of a proud stallion. He gave food to the hungry, and he visited the sick. When he made miracles happen, he told the people to keep quiet about it. He ran and he hid from the ones who wanted him to become a powerful ruler. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and Jesus let himself be crucified. I don't think it's wrong to win. I don't think it's wrong to have money. I don't think it's wrong to have fame. I don't think it's wrong to have nice homes and cars. But it is not the model that Jesus has for us. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, listen to this. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Having the same mind that was in Jesus is not about competition. It's not about winning. It is about losing. It's about emptying ourselves all the things that we make more important than God. James and John craved power, and they were followers of Jesus. Just like we do, they lost sight of what Jesus models. Jesus reminded them that true greatness does not come from power. True greatness comes in our emptiness. And in the knowledge that we are weak, yet in Christ we are strong. When we lose our compass, forgetting to seek God and forgetting to follow above all those two most important rules. Have I said them enough that you could just say them? What are they? Do you remember? What are the two most important rules of all of Christianity? Love God, love everyone. When we seek power over those rules, or power over other people, it is toxic. We seek power over those rules when we seek power over other people. It's like taking poison. Let's pray. God, help us. Help us to serve you and help us to serve one another. Help us to live in harmony. Help us to live with love as our first and foremost rule. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us a model to follow. God, help us. Amen.